Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The NFL has had some true legends of the game that wore jersey number 69. And in today's episode, our Football by Numbers bonus edition, we are going to go and pick a top 10 greatest number 69s in NFL history. And it's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You know, when you talk about great NFL players, you're thinking about the running backs, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the great linebackers, and maybe some cornerbacks and safeties. But those big guys in the trenches, they just don't get the love that they truly should deserve on both the offensive and the defensive side. And today, we're going to go and talk about the greatest players in NFL history, 101 plus years of wearing the jersey number 69. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen for this bonus edition Football by Numbers series, and we are glad to have you, glad that you joined us here. And can you believe we're all the way up to jersey 69? This time is flying right by talking about these great players, because football history is just such a passion for all of us that are researching it, listening to podcasts, reading blog posts, reading books, and just enjoying these great players, both on game day and looking back to the past, what they've done and their accomplishments. So let's go and look first at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where we always do in this series. And unbelievably, the Pro Football Hall of Fame reports that there are absolutely no players in the Hall of Fame that wore jersey number 69. I find that extremely hard to believe, and I think that's going to change real soon, especially with some of the names that we're going to be talking about here on this jersey 69. So the Hall of Fame isn't giving any love to the jersey 69, but Pigskin Dispatch, we do, because we give love to every single number. We're going to cover all of them, 0 through 99, in this edition. And I'm sorry, in this series. This edition is on strictly number 69. So let's go and talk about the first player on the list that I would like to talk about, and that's Jared Allen. You know, he is such a phenomenal defensive end, wore 69 his entire career. He started off with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2004, played with them for four seasons, and then, of course, went to the Minnesota Vikings, where he really made his name. Played with the Vikings for six seasons, and then a final year in Chicago, and then a split year between Chicago and Carolina. But Jared Allen, holy schmoly, did he get after the quarterback. This man had 136 sacks of the quarterback, 503 solo tackles, and altogether, you know, 648 with combination tackles. That's playing the right defensive end position. So they would usually, you know, either run right at him or run away from him. And when you're running right at him, you've got blockers galore coming at you, but the man still made tackles. But, you know, 136 of those tackles, you know, over one fifth of them are knocking down a quarterback behind the line. And he was just a ferocious player. Came out of Idaho State, so not really a big college of producing, you know, pass rushing players, but Jared Allen definitely came out of that Idaho State program and just did some great things in the NFL. And he may have his name in Canton sometime, because he had five Pro Bowls and he was a four-time All-Pro at that defensive end spot. So definitely very deserving to be on our list, and he is going to go on as our first player to be on our top 10 list for the greatest number 69s in NFL history. The next player I want to talk about is David Bakhtiari. Now, David is, he's still playing football to this day. He's wore 69 his whole career. Came in 2013 with the Green Bay Packers, and as of last year was still a Green Bay Packer. Had some injuries last year, and I believe he's back with the Packers again this year. and they're expecting great things from the offensive tackle. Now, so far in his young career, he has been to the Pro Bowl 3 times, and he has been an All-Pro 2 times. And like I said, they're still expecting some great things of this 6'4", 310-pound mountain of a man that blocks for Aaron Rodgers in the backfield of that Green Bay Packers squad. And he is definitely a force to be reckoned with. And he is, in his young career, playing so well, we are going to put him on as our number 2 player going on to our list of greatest NFL players that wore Jersey 69. Now, a third player we want to talk about is Jordan Gross. And Jordan is another guy that plays the offensive tackle position. And he went to college at Utah. And so far in his career, he's made it to 3 Pro Bowls and once as an All-Pro. 2003, he came with the Carolina Panthers, and he stayed there all the way through the 2013 season. So 11 seasons and 3 Pro Bowls in it, so one out of every 3 years basically in the Pro Bowl. And wore 69 the whole time he was there, and just had a phenomenal career offensive tackle blocking for their fine offenses. They've had some pretty good backs there, too, with them. Going through the Carolina Panthers history of recent, and just a great guy. And I think we're going to put him on as our third player onto our list. And how about the Mark Schlereth, who is ESPN of late has been had him on as a commentator talking about the NFL shows that they have there. And I think he's also done some announcing on some games. But he was a Garden Center, most famously of the Denver Broncos. But he did play for the Washington Redskins too. He played 6 years, 6 years with the Redskins, last 6 years with the Denver Broncos. And 69 all the way through those 12 seasons. 156 games played, 140 of them were started, 2 Pro Bowls, and he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion. That was with the Denver Broncos at the end of his career, winning those with 2 of them with the John Elway-led teams, and he won one with Washington in their run there. So, great player, and key part of that offensive line, and he is also going on to our list. Mark Schlereth is our 4th entry. John Runyon. Who can say anything bad about John Runyon, because this man played tackle for a long time. He came in with the Houston Oilers back in 1996, transferred to Tennessee as the Oilers from 97 through 99. Then he went over to Philadelphia and played there from 2000 all the way to 2008 with the Eagles, and 2009 finished up his career with the San Diego Chargers. 9 years with Philadelphia, 4 years with the Houston, Tennessee franchise, and 1 with San Diego. And he made it to 1 Pro Bowl, but the man wore 69 the majority of his career except for that final year in San Diego. 207 games played, 192 started, and he was just a solid tackle. Played that right tackle position for those Tennessee and Philadelphia teams. So we are going to put him on as our 5th player of our greatest number 69s, and we'll go on to our next player. And that next player I want to talk about is Woody Peoples. Peoples was just another fantastic guard prospect that came out of Grambling State. He made it to the Pro Bowl 2 times in his NFL career, played with the San Francisco 49ers for 9 seasons, 1968 all the way to 1977. His final 3 years, he played as a Philadelphia Eagle, 78, 79, 80. Was on that Super Bowl team of Philadelphia that was under Dick Vermeil, I believe. And he played quite a bit of games. He had 168 games, started 153 of them, and like we said, came out of Grambling State and made 2 Pro Bowls in the NFL. And we are going to put Woody on our list also. He's our 6th player on. Sherrell Hedrick, he is another one we want to talk about, another old-time player. Came in with the Dallas Texans in 1960, the original AFL team, Dallas Texans. 3 years there, and then, of course, the Texans turns into the Kansas City Chiefs. So he played the rest of his career in the AFL with Kansas City, except for 1968. He went over to a brand-new team in the AFL, the Cincinnati Bengals. So he, middle linebacker for all those teams. and had two AFL championships with Kansas City and four Pro Bowls and three times as an All-Pro with the Great American Football League Conference, that third edition of the American Football League. And, you know, a player that came out of TCU, and in his career, he had 15 interceptions, and he returned for 207 yards, three touchdowns off of those interceptions, so very mobile middle linebacker. And, you know, ended up registering 9 sacks in those 9 years, so about a sack a year, almost 2 interceptions per year, so very productive in the AFL as a middle linebacker, and very deserving to go onto our list. Sherelle Hedrick, he goes on as our 7th player. And Tim Crumry, who you know him more as more in his media days, but he was a nose tackle and defensive tackle, 6'2", 270 pounds, when he came out in the 1983 season with the Cincinnati Bengals, played there his entire career through the 94 season, really stuffed up the middle of that line. And he ended up having 34 and a half sacks, 3 forced fumbles in his career, made it to 2 Pro Bowls with the Bengals, and once as an All-Pro, covering the middle of that defensive line for the Cincinnati squad. And another guy that is going to go right on our list. So that takes us to 8. So now things are going to get just a little bit more dicey, because we only have 2 spots left on our top 10 list. And we're going to choose them very wisely and use them very wisely. And the first player that we are going to look at for the last 2 spots is Keith Sims. Now, Keith Sims, he was a guard, offensive guard, that came to the Miami Dolphins in the 1990 season. He stayed with them for 8 years and played 3 final years as a left guard with the Washington Redskins. And, you know, very solid player. Made it to 3 Pro Bowls in his career, but his jersey number 69 was his entire career at Miami for 8 years. And I think we're going to put him on our standby list and think about him a little bit. 8 seasons, only 2 positions left on our top 10 list, so we want to make sure we choose them wisely, like we said. And we're going to look at Jason Fabini. Now, Jason wore 69 his entire career, 1998, came with the New York Jets, stayed there for 8 seasons, 2 years with the Redskins at the end of his career, and 1 year with the Dallas Cowboys in between that Jets and Washington treks that he had there. And he ended up playing 152 games, started 129 of them, and did not make it to any Pro Bowls or as an All-Pro, so I'm not sure he's going to be good enough statistics to make it on here, but definitely a substantial line player for those teams that he played for. Doug Sutherland is another guy that we want to talk about that had some, you know, great minutes as an NFL player. He played defensive tackle, guard, and defensive end, came in 1970 with the New Orleans Saints. I think that was their expansion year. And then went to the Minnesota Vikings for the rest of his career. I'm sorry, the next 10 years of his career. 1 final season with the Seattle Seahawks in 1981. But, you know, this man ended up having 29 sacks in his career and just played some very solid football. 7 sacks in just 1 year from the defensive line position, 1976. So he definitely wreaked some havoc by some players, but no Pro Bowls, no All-Pros for him either. So I'm not sure that he will make it, even though he was a significant player. But maybe our next guy, Khalif Barnes. Khalif had a very interesting career as a tackle. He came in 2005 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, stayed there for his first 4 years, then was an Oakland Raider for the next 7 years, and in 1 final year, 2017, with the Arizona Cardinals, is when he ended up hanging up his helmet for good as a player. And, you know, during his time, he ended up having 3 receptions for 9 yards, so they used him on that tackle-eligible play quite a bit. For this player, and you know, he was just another great solid player, but no all pros, no Pro Bowls. Not sure that we can put Khalif Barnes on there, but maybe Willie Young. I mean, there's a chance maybe Willie Young can help us out here and have the statistics. He ended up being, you know, he's a tackle and had a couple rushes, probably just some accidental type things, but was a New York Giant from 1966 all the way to 1975, and you know, played some great years there with the Giants, but again, no Pro Bowls, no All-Pro seasons, and I don't know what we can do for him, but Dan Fike, You know, here's a name that people remember in NFL history. He was a guard tackle, played with the Cleveland Browns from 1985 all the way to 1992, and then one final year with rival Pittsburgh in 1993. Interesting to go from one AFC Central team to the next one. Played against them all that time. 115 games, started 102 at guard tackle, and 69 during his time with the Browns. He was number 71 when he was a Steeler. Probably not going to get him onto our list here. But how about taking a look at Mike Lewis? Mike Lewis may have a chance here. And Mike was another defensive end, nose guard. 1971, Atlanta Falcons through the 1979 season. And he went into the new decade, 1980, playing for the Green Bay Packers before he called it quits. And he ended up having 25 sacks in his career. That's nothing to sneeze at. But again, no All-Pros, no Pro Bowls for Mike Lewis, who was a good player. Now, DeMar Dotson, another guy that just has some statistics that really sort of call out to you and beckon you to read them and see what he did. But again, no Pro Bowls, no All-Pros, but he was a tackle, wore 69 during his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which was 10 seasons, and then one final year with the Denver Broncos. But these guys are just not getting the love from the voting to get them on the Hall of Fame teams, and it makes it difficult. Chester Pitts, he's sort of in that same category, and we feel bad for these guys. But he wore 69 this whole season, 129 games, 119 starts. And he played for the Houston Texans. But again, no All-Pros, no Pro Bowls. And I think we can go on and not have those guys there. So I think what I'm going to do here is we'll go back in deliberations now. And I think for our ninth player, I'm going to put Keith Sims on that list. And I think the next one I'm going to put on there is probably Jason Fabini as our other player for the 10th spot. So there we have it, our top 10 list. Jared Allen, David Bakari, Jordan Gross, Mark Sklareth, John Runyon, Woody Peoples, Sherelle Hedrick, Keith Sims, and Jason Fabini. Those are your top 10 greatest number 69s in NFL history. We thank you for joining us here. We really appreciate you spending the time and learning about these great jersey wearers of number 69 on their back in NFL history. And hopefully one or two of them will get in the Hall of Fame soon so that our next time we talk about these jersey 69s or anybody does, they can say, hey, this guy, he wore 69 and he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. And we hope that for all of these players that really sacrificed their body and did their jobs and trained so long and so hard to get to the top level of American football, the NFL. And we wish them all the best on their track to get that gold jacket. And we thank you for joining us once again. We hope you'll find us on pigskindispatch.com and check us out there with all our great articles and other bonuses we have going on. And sportshistorynetwork.com, where there's great podcasts and blog posts on all sports history, not just football, but everything you can imagine. And it's all family friendly. PigskinDispatch.com, SportsHistoryNetwork.com, family friendly. Any age can listen to and enjoy and learn something. And I think you'll do that from the hosts, the guests, and the topics of they're on. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Now's a good time to take a break from our football history discussion and hear from one of our sponsors, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes.
Always be
peeking up at the clock. The time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.